Most important thing, I think, for most people is going to be kind of your track record and your track record of success. Kind of showing that you have the ability to find great deals and then to identify them.
So hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. So today we have a phenomenal episode coming up with Ali Jamal of First Check Ventures, who's had some pretty impressive career from investment banking to now at First Check Ventures and everything that he's been doing in the LATAM region. So hi Ali, could you share a bit about community building in LATAM as somebody who's kind of like an immigrant coming into the region? So how did you build your community in Latin America, and how did you build your network in Latin America?
Sure. I think the biggest thing in terms of, community building, and I think this is true kind of wherever you are, is if you find ways to be helpful and add value to other people, they usually try to find ways to add value to you and be helpful to you. And so a lot of what I've been able to do in terms of building the community has revolved around, being available for mentorship or advice or giving feedback on projects and ideas, whether it's through different accelerator programs, people reaching out directly, colleagues or ex-colleagues from the places I've worked in LATAM. And it kind of just slowly grows your network and people learn that you're helpful and that you add value, and then more and more people reach out to you.
That's some top tier advice, and I think you had a great point on being helpful and being just available for the community is how you build your network and how you build up that community as well. So my next question to you is, so what exactly are you doing at First Check Ventures, and how did you attract such a big LP base that has invested into First Check Ventures?
The idea with First Check is that we want to be the first checks, but really that we're trying to invest in big, bold opportunities, and becoming in at the earliest stages. So figuring out which sorts of risks we're willing to take and which sort of risks we're not willing to take is a big part of it. And I think just being very clear with the mission that, we're going to be investing in emerging markets globally, looking at things that can have a big impact for everyday people, and that will lead to not just a positive social impact, but also a positive financial impact, both for the region as well as, for ourselves as investors. And so, having that kind of very clear thesis to share with the audience, I think that is really resonated with them, and we see more and more of them want to come and join, like the types of companies we're investing in, and want to be part of the next batch of companies that we're investing in because of that thesis.
Yeah, I think you brought up a great point about having a very clear thesis and a very clearly defined thesis. And I think through my conversations with other VCs, they've also mentioned that fundraising is very hard, even as a VC fund. So what are your top tips that you could share today for any audience member listening today on how they can fundraise for a VC fund or micro VC or syndicate or like anything they want to do in the VC space?
So the most important thing, I think, for most people is going to be kind of your track record and your track record of success. Kind of showing that you have the ability to find great deals and then to identify them and to actually be able to invest in them really is going to be one of the biggest differentiators. And so if you can do that, if you can point to the companies you angel invested in, you can point to the companies you mentored, the companies you're an advisor in, it really starts to highlight your access and your ability to pick winners and why somebody else might want to invest with you. I think the beauty of the syndicate is that the decision-making process is still held within the LPs. And so I'm showing you the opportunity. I'm investing personally. I have a successful track record of investing personally. And that leads to, people wanting to see the opportunities that I'm investing in. And that's really just the idea behind the syndicate is let me show you the things that I'm investing in. Now that's a little bit different compared to, you know, a fund or a micro fund where it's, hey, I'm a VC, you know, give me your money and I'll invest it for you. You know, I think again, that just takes that next level of trust, that next level of track record to really be able to convince people that you know what you're doing.
I think those are some really great points. And I think I really loved your point on the track record of success. So if you're first starting out and you don't have any network, you don't have any access to deals, you don't have anything. So how can you approach this track record building and angel investing? And like, what are your top tips for someone today?
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you don't have a network yet and don't have, super successful investing track record, I think, you know, part of it is to build it, right? And so I think the easiest way to build it these days is through platforms like AngelList, where I have a syndicate. You know, you can join my syndicate, First Check Ventures. You can join the other syndicates on the platform, and that'll help you get exposure to different types of deals. And you can, you know, invest in a variety of things and start to figure out what your thesis is, right? Because that's also important. Some of the deals I show you, you might love and be like, this is exactly what I want to invest in, exactly the kinds of founders I want to bet on. And other deals you might say, hey, Ali, like this deal's crazy, you're crazy, I don't want to invest in this and I don't want anything to do with this at all, right? And that's, you know, that's the beauty of doing it through a syndicate is you can kind of start to pick. And maybe you'll see that you know, deal that you loved ended up not going as well. And the deal that, you know, I showed you that you thought was crazy ended up doing really well, or vice versa. And maybe it'll help you adjust your thesis along the way. The thing is that investing is a really long game, and it can't hurt to kind of get more and more practice, get more and more insight into what's happening, what makes a good deal, what makes a good company. There isn't one formula. Nobody's really figured it out. And so you need to figure it out for yourself, what your version of that is and what success looks like for you.
Points on joining an AngelList syndicate or maybe even joining yours perhaps. And so my next question is, so I took a look at your portfolio and you seem to have invested in Latin America and a few Pakistani companies as well. So could you share a bit about your investment thesis and like what draws you to LATAM and these emerging regions of the world?
Yeah. So, you know, basically, you know, I grew up in the US. You know, went to places like Silicon Valley and Stanford and worked in New York and kind of a lot of these kind of big cutting edge places. And then ended up getting, you know, recruited and going for work into other markets kind of across emerging markets and spending a lot of my vacation time also in these different emerging markets. So Southeast Asia, Latin America, Eastern Europe, Africa. And, you know, the interesting thing about kind of living in a lot of these markets is in so many ways, it's almost exactly the same as if you are living in the US. But then, you know, you'll run into certain situations where it's like all of a sudden you get transported back to 1950. Anytime you like walk through a bank, you know, all of a sudden things have to be completely different and you have to bring all this extra documentation. And that ends up being, I think, at least why a large portion of these populations have, you know, 60, 70% of the population unbanked or 90% of the people that don't have access to credit and not having that ability to build credit, to get a mortgage, to expand your business, right? I think is really kind of what's stopping people and stopping that upward momentum. And, you know, I think that there's this really great opportunity to invest in these solutions that have already existed in the US, have already existed in you know, China, have already existed in Europe, but for some reason don't exist yet in India or don't yet exist in Brazil or Pakistan or Nigeria. And, you know, figuring out what will that look like, right? Because I think in the same way that, you know, the invention of cell phones kind of be skipped over landlines, I think, you know, with the way mobile and you know, kind of Web3 and these things are happening, we'll skip over steps. We're not going to have the same sort of banking, you know, digital infrastructure marketplaces that we have in the US or Europe, one for one, but we're going to have some new versions of that that make more sense for the region. And so, you know, what I'm trying to do is identify what are those going to be, help those founders with their visions, and really try to build something special for the region.
I think it's really great that you're focusing on emerging regions like LATAM, like India, like many of these emerging regions, which don't have enough access to capital, don't have enough proper network and access to the broader market. So my next question is, so you've had quite an illustrious career. You've worked at companies like Rappi and a few other companies. And so what does it, and you've overseen their growth and product teams, I believe. So what does it take to grow a company from the ground up? Like that 0 to 1 phase, like, could you just share a bit on that?
I think in those early stages, you know, the thing is, do people want it, right? And I think that's one of the biggest questions. And so many people spend so much time trying to build something that people don't actually want. You know, that's what ultimately I think ends up stopping the success of the startup. So the first thing is just, is it something that people actually want? And if it is something that people actually want, right? Are they going to talk about it? Are they going to help spread it? Is this a good experience for that customer? Right? Because so much of what you're doing initially is focusing on growth, getting more users, getting revenue, getting to these points. And those really only happen if people really want your product and really appreciate your product. And so what are the things that we can do to make something that people actually want? What are the things that we can do to make them want it more, to make them want to spend money on it, to want them to tell their friends? And so having that kind of, you know, products, obsession and obsession with the customer, I think is extremely important.
Yeah, I loved your point. And my big takeaway from all this was to have an obsession with the customer and build something that people actually want and build that word of mouth, that organic traffic and all that through something that people want. So it was an absolute pleasure and an honor to host you on the podcast today. And do share how the audience can get in touch with you and how they can potentially pitch as well to First Check Ventures.
Yeah. So on the website, firstcheckventures.com, we have an intake form where you can submit your ideas. I'm a solo GP, so I'm the one that's going to be getting back to you. I try to get back to as many people as possible. Obviously, sometimes things happen, but if you go to firstcheckventures.com, more than happy to review your submissions. You know, I'm also on Twitter. And, you know, LinkedIn are both the easy ways to get a hold of me as well.
Amazing. And before we close, is there anything you'd like to share? Any parting advice for the audience? Anything that you would like to give as a...
So I think it kind of goes back to some of the things I said earlier, but, you know, I get a lot of people approaching me. How do I become a VC? And especially young people, it's better at college. And, you know, I don't think being a VC should be your goal. I really think that your goal should be to add to the ecosystem. And so, again, trying to be helpful here, what to do to make this world a better place, make companies a better place, make tech a better place. I think if you focus on that as your goal, then eventually VC might come your path or your way of doing that bigger, broader goal. But I don't think the goal should ever be, I want to be doing X. I think the goal should be impact. And so I would think about what are the strengths that I have and what are the ways I can add value to the world, and focus on that as big and as important as possible. So however you can add value to the world, if you're doing positive things.
So yeah, so you were sharing about your parting advice. So I think your biggest parting advice was to be helpful, to make tech a better place, and not to chase after that VC goal is the crux of what you've been trying to say. And so, yeah, so absolute pleasure and honor once again to host you on the podcast. And yeah, have an amazing day ahead. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I have an open opportunity to reach this audience. So if you want to reach college students and freshers interested in startups and venture capital, and just in terms of the demographics, the age of 18 to 22 is the highest age demographic in India, and US are the two largest country demographics of listeners for this podcast. Email me at bizpodruhi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, and hope you've learned something new.